We're continuing Chapter 18 of Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. So they just had their first, lesson. Vanishing or whatever.
Right.
Whatever that's called. They had their first
apparition.
Lesson. Apparition. There you go. How did you do? Asked Ron, hurrying toward Harry. I think I felt something the last time I tried, kind of tingling in my feet. I expect your trainers are too small, Wan, said a voice behind them, and Hermione stalked past, smirking. I didn't feel anything, said Harry, ignoring this interruption, but I don't care about that now. What do you mean you don't care? Don't you want to learn to apparate? Said Ron incredulously. I'm not fussed, really. I prefer flying, said Harry, who was glancing over his shoulder to see where Malfoy was, and speeding up as they came into the entrance hall. Look, hurry up, will you? There's something I want to do. Perplexed, Ron followed Harry back to the Gryffindor Tower at a run. They were temporarily detained by Peeves, who had jammed a door on the fourth floor shut and was refusing to let anyone pass until they set fire to their own pants. But Harry and Ron simply turned back and took one of their trusted shortcuts. Within 5 minutes, they were climbing through the portrait hole. Are you going to tell me what we're doing then? Asked Ron, panting slightly. Up here, said Harry, and he crossed the common room and led the way through the door to the boys' staircase. Their dormitory was, as Harry had hoped, empty. He flung open his trunk and began to rummage in it while Ron watched impatiently. Harry, Malfoy's using Crab and Goyle as lookouts. He was arguing with Crab just now. I want to know. Ha! He had found it, a folded square of apparently blank parchment, which he now smoothed out and tapped with the tip of his wand. I solemnly swear I'm up to no good. Malfoy is, anyway. At once, the Marauder's map appeared on the parchment surface. Here was a detailed floor plan of every one of the castle's floors, and moving around are the tiny labeled black dots that signify each of the castle's occupants. Help me find Malfoy, said Harry urgently. He laid the map over the bed, and he and Ron leaned over, searching. There, said Ron after a minute or so. He's in the Slytherin common room. Look, with Parkinson and Zabini and Crab and Goyle. Harry looked down at the map, disappointed, but rallied at once. Well, I'm keeping an eye on him from now on, he said firmly. And the moment... So Harry was talking.
Yeah, he's like a little bit obsessed with Malfoy.
A little bit. I'm keeping a firm eye on him from now on, he said. And the moment I see him lurking somewhere with Crab and Goyle, keeping watch outside, I'll be on with the old invisibility cloak and off to find what he's... He broke off as Neville entered the dormitory, bringing with him a strong smell of singed material, and began rummaging in his trunk for a fresh pair of pants. Despite his determination to catch Malfoy...
Did you get it?
He burned his pants.
Yeah.
Oh, because of Peeves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Despite his determination to catch Malfoy out, Harry had no luck over the next couple of weeks. Although he consulted the map as often as he could, sometimes making unnecessary visits to the bathroom between lessons to search it, he did not once see Malfoy anywhere suspicious. Admittedly, he spotted Crab and Goyle moving around the castle on their own more than usual, sometimes remaining stationary in deserted corridors. But at these times, Malfoy was not only nowhere near them, but impossible to locate on the map at all. That was most mysterious. Harry toyed with the possibility that Malfoy was actually leaving the school grounds, but could not see how he could be doing it, given the very high level of security now operating within the castle. He could only suppose that he was missing Malfoy amongst hundreds of tiny black dots upon the map. You know, for someone who thinks that he's very clever, Harry's kind of an idiot. Like, no Malfoy on the map and Crab guarding some random spot in a corridor. Maybe you could go see what the story is.
Someplace in a corridor where you had meetings?
Oh, is that also what the story
They're
was?
They're in the room of requirement.
I didn't remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
As for the fact that Malfoy, Crab, and Goyle appeared to be going their different ways when they were usually inseparable, these things happened as people got older. Ron and Hermione, Harry reflected sadly, were living proof. February moved toward March with no change in the weather, except that it became windy as well as wet. To general indignation, a sign went up on all the common room notice boards that the next trip to Hogsmeade had been cancelled. Ron was furious. It was on my birthday, he said. I was looking forward to it. Not a big surprise, though, is it? Said Harry. Not after what happened to Katie. She still had not returned from St. Mungo's. What was more, further disappearances had been reported in the Daily Prophet, including several relatives of students at Hogwarts. But now all I've got to look forward to is stupid apparition, said Ron grumpily. Big birthday treat. Three lessons on, apparition was proving as difficult as ever, though a few more people managed to splinch themselves. Frustration was running high, and there was a certain amount of ill feeling toward Winky Twycross and his three Ds, which inspired a number of nicknames for him, the politest of which were Dog Breath and Dunghead. Happy birthday, Ron, said Harry, who, when they were woken on the first day of March by Seamus and Dean leaving noisily for breakfast. Have a present. He threw the package across to Ron's bed, where it joined a small pile that must, Harry assumed, have been delivered by house elves in the night. Cheers, said Ron drowsily as he ripped open the paper. Harry got out of bed, opened his own trunk and began rummaging in it for the Marauder's map, which he hid after every use. He turfed out half the contents of his trunk before he found it hiding beneath the rolled-up socks in which he was still keeping his bottle of lucky potion, Felix Felicis. Right, he murmured.
I thought it was Felicis. Felix Felicis,
okay. Right, he murmured, taking it back with him to bed, tapping it quietly and murmuring, I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good, so that Neville, who was passing the foot of his bed at the time, would not hear. Nice one, Harry, said Ron, enthusiastically, wearing the new pair of Quidditch keeper's gloves Harry had given him. No problem, said Harry, absentmindedly, as he searched the Slytherin dormitory closely for Malfoy. Hey, I don't think he's in his bed. Ron did not answer. He was too busy unwrapping presents, every now and then letting out an exclamation of pleasure. Seriously good haul this year, he announced, holding up a heavy gold watch with odd symbols around the edge and tiny moving stars instead of hands. See what Mom and Dad got me? Blimey, I think I'll come of age next year, too. Cool, muttered Harry, sparing the watch a glance before peering more closely at the map. Where was Malfoy? He did not seem to be in the Slytherin table in the Great Hall eating breakfast. He was nowhere near Snape, who was sitting in his study. He wasn't in any of the bathrooms or the hospital wing. Want one? Said Ron thickly, holding out a box of chocolate cauldrons. No thanks, said Harry, looking up. Malfoy's gone again. Can't have done, said Ron, stuffing a second cauldron in his mouth as he slid out of bed to get dressed. Come on, if you don't hurry up, you'll have to apparate on an empty stomach. Might make it easier, I suppose. Ron looked thoughtfully at the box of chocolate cauldrons, and then shrugged and helped himself to a third. Harry tapped the map with his wand, muttered, mischief managed, though it hadn't been, and got dressed, thinking hard. There had to be an explanation for Malfoy's periodic disappearances, but he could not think what it could be. The best way of finding out would be to tail him, but even with the invisibility cloak, this was an impractical idea. Harry had lessons, Quidditch practice, homework, and apparition. He couldn't follow Malfoy around school all day without his absence being remarked on. Ready, he said to Ron. He was halfway to the dormitory door when he realized Ron had not moved, but was leaning against...
Uh-oh. I know what's going to happen now.
But was leaning on his bedpost, staring out of the rain-washed window with a strangely unfocused look on his face. Ron, breakfast. I'm not hungry. Harry stared at him. I thought you said... Well, all right, I'll come down with you, sighed Ron, but I don't want to eat. Harry scrutinized him suspiciously. You've just eaten half a box of chocolate cauldrons, haven't you? It's not that, sighed Ron again. You wouldn't understand. Fair enough, said Harry, albeit puzzled, as he turned to open the door. Harry, said Ron suddenly. What? Harry, I can't stand it. Can't stand what? Asked Harry.
I'm in love.
Now starting to feel definitely alarmed. Ron was rather pale and looked as though he was about to be sick.
Oh, no.
I can't stop thinking about her, said Ron hoarsely. Harry gaped at him. He had not expected this, and was not sure he wanted to hear it. Friends they might be, but if Ron started calling Lavender Wav-Wav, he'd have to put his foot down. Why does it stop you having breakfast? Harry asked, trying to interject a note of common sense in the proceedings. I don't think she knows I exist, said Ron with a definite gesture. She definitely knows you exist, said Harry, bewildered. She keeps snogging you, doesn't she? Ron blinked. Who are you talking about? Who are you talking about, said Harry, with an increasing sense that all reason had dropped out of the conversation. Romilda Vane, said Ron softly, and his whole face seemed to illuminate as he said it, as though hit by a ray of purest sunlight. They stared at each other for almost a whole minute before Harry said, This is a joke, right? You're joking. I think I love her, said Ron in a strangled voice. Okay, said Harry, walking up to Ron to get a better look of the glazed eyes and the pallid complexion. Okay, say that again with a straight face. I love her, Ron repeated breathlessly. Have you seen her hair? It's all black and shiny and silky. And her eyes, her big dark eyes, and her... This is really funny and everything, said Harry impatiently. But joke's over, all right? Drop it. He turned to leave. He had got two steps toward the door when a crashing blow hit him up in the right ear. Staggering, he looked around. Ron's fist was drawn back. His face was contorted with rage. He was ready to strike again. Harry reacted instinctively. His wand was out of his pocket, and the incantation sprang to his mind without conscious thought. Levicorpus! Ron yelled as his heel was wrenched upward once more. He dangled helplessly, upside down, his robes hanging off him. What was that for? Harry bellowed. You insulted her, Harry. You said it was a joke, shouted Ron, who was slowly turning purple in the face as all the blood rushed to his head. This is insane, said Harry. What's gotten in? And then he saw the box lying open in Ron's bed, and the truth hit him with the force of a stampeding troll. Where did you get those chocolate cauldrons? They were a birthday present, shouted Ron, revolving slowly in midair as he struggled to get free. I offered you one, didn't I? You just picked them up off the floor, didn't you? They'd fallen off my bed, all right? Let me go. They didn't fall off your bed, you prat. Don't you understand? They were mine. I checked them out of my trunk when I was looking for them. They're the chocolate cauldrons Romilda gave me before Christmas. They're all spiked with love potion. But only one word of this seemed to have registered with Ron. Romilda? He repeated. Did you say Romilda? Harry, do you know her? Can you introduce me? Harry stared at the dangling Ron, whose face now looked tremendously hopeful, and he fought a strong desire to laugh. A part of him, the part closest to his throbbing
right ear. That's like what you would experience when you deal with drunk people.
Yeah.
And like the things they say. Kissing break.
A part of him, the part closest to his throbbing right ear, was quite keen on the idea of letting Ron down and watching him run amok until the effects of the potion were off. But on the other hand, they were supposed to be friends. Ron had not been himself when he had attacked, and Harry thought he would deserve another punching if he permitted Ron to declare his undying love for Romilda Vane. Yeah, I'll introduce you, said Harry, thinking fast. I'm going to let you down, okay? He set Ron crashing back to the floor. His ear did hurt quite a lot. But Ron simply bounded to his feet again, grinning. She'll be in Slughorn's office, said Harry confidently, leading the way to the door. Why will she be in there? Asked Ron anxiously, hurrying to keep up. Oh, she has extra potions lessons with him, said Harry, inventing wildly. Maybe I could ask to have them with her, Ron said eagerly. Great idea, said Harry. Lavender was waiting beside the portrait hole, a complication Harry had not foreseen. You're late, Wanwan, she pouted. I've got your birthday. Leave me alone, said Ron impatiently. Harry is going to introduce me to Romilda Vane. And without another word to her, he pushed his way out of the portrait hole. Harry tried to make an apologetic face to Lavender, but it might have turned out simply amused, because she looked more offended than ever as the fat lady swung shut behind them. Harry had been slightly worried Slughorn might be at breakfast, but he answered his office door at the first knock, wearing a green velvet dressing gown and matching nightcap and looking rather bleary-eyed. "Harry," he mumbled, "this is very early for a call. I generally sleep late on a Saturday." "Professor, I'm really sorry to disturb you," said Harry as quietly as possible, while Ron stood on tiptoe, attempting to see past Slughorn into the room. "But my friend Ron swallowed a love potion by mistake. You couldn't make him an antidote, could you? I'd take him to Madame Pomfrey, but we're not supposed to have anything from Weasley's Wizard Wheezes, and, you know, awkward questions." "I'd have thought you could have whipped him up a remedy, Harry, an expert potioner like you," asked Slughorn. Said Ron, somewhat distracted by the fact that Ron was now elbowing him in the ribs in an attempt to force his... way into the room. "Well, I've never mixed an antidote for love potion, sir. And by the time I get it right, Ron might have done something serious." Helpfully, Ron chose this moment to moan. "I can't see her, Harry. Is he hiding her?" "Was this potion within date?" asked Slughorn, now eyeing Ron with professional interest. "They can strengthen, you know, the longer they're kept." "That would explain a lot," panted Harry, now positively wrestling Ron to keep him from knocking Slughorn over. "It's his birthday, Professor," he added imploringly. "All right, come in, said Slughorn, relenting. I've got the necessary here in my bag. It's not a difficult antidote." Ron burst through the door into Slughorn's overheated, crowded study, tripped over a tasseled footstool, regained his balance by seizing Harry around the neck, and muttered, "She didn't see that, did she?" "She's not here yet," said Harry, watching Slughorn opening his potion kit and adding a few pinchers to this and that, a small crystal bottle. "That's good," said Ron fervently. "How do I look?" "Very handsome," said Slughorn smoothly, handing Ron a glass of clear liquid. "Now drink that up. It's a tonic for the nerves. Keeps you calm when she arrives, you know." "Brilliant," said Ron eagerly, and he gulped the antidote down noisily. Harry and Slughorn watched him. For a moment, Ron beamed at them. Then very slowly, his grin sagged and vanished, to be replaced by an expression of utmost horror. "Back to normal, then," said Harry, grinning. Slughorn chuckled. "Thanks a lot, Professor." "Don't mention it, my boy, don't mention it," said Slughorn, as Ron collapsed into a nearby armchair, looking devastated. "Pick me up, that's what he needs," Slughorn continued, now bustling over to a table loaded with drinks. "I've got a butterbeer, I've got wine, I've got one last bottle of an oak-matured mead. Meant to give that to Dumbledore for Christmas." "Ah, well," he shrugged, "he can't miss what he's never had. Why don't we open it now and celebrate Mr. Weasley's birthday? Nothing like a fine spirit to chase away the pang of disappointed love." He chortled again, and Harry joined in. This was the first time he had found himself almost alone with Slughorn since his disastrous first attempt to extract the true memory from him. Perhaps if he could just keep Slughorn in a good mood, perhaps if they got through enough of the oak-matured mead. "Well, there you are," said Slughorn, handing Harry and Ron a glass of mead, each before raising his own. "Well, a very happy birthday, Ralph." "Ron," whispered Harry. But Ron, who did not appear to be listening to the toast, had already thrown the mead into his mouth and swallowed it. There was one second, hardly more than a heartbeat, in which Harry knew that there was something terribly wrong, and Slughorn, it seemed, did not. "And may you have many more." "Ron!" Ron had dropped his glass, half rose from his chair, and then crumpled, his extremities jerking uncontrollably. Foam dribbled from his mouth, and his eyes were bulging in their sockets. "Professor," Harry bellowed, "do something." But Slughorn seemed paralyzed by shock. Ron twitched and choked, his skin was turning blue. But, spluttered Slughorn. Harry leapt over a low table and sprinted toward Slughorn's open potions kit, pulling out jars and pouches while a terrible sound of Ron's gargling breath filled the room. Then he found it, the shriveled kidney-like stone Slughorn had taken from him in potions. He hurtled back to Ron's side, wrenched open his jaw, and thrust the bezoar into his mouth. Ron gave a great shudder, a rattling gasp, and his body became limp and still. That's the end of chapter 18. Next we'll read chapter 19 called Elf Tales.
Oh, Elf Tales. Yeah. Lovely,
beautiful kitten. Loved it. See sweet dreams to the kitten.
Thanks, baby.
See sweet dreams.
Sweet dreams and coffee.
Aww. Good night, kitten.
Good night, pup.
Say good night to the kitten.
Good night, self.
Because she's listening later and she's snuggling up.
Yeah.
And dreaming of some Harrys and some pups. Yeah.